Quite the opposite. The Muslim Brotherhood reformed itself in the 1960s. They, condemned the use of violence, have been actively participating or trying to in politics.
Each other.
Have been participating in elections.
But if they're not radical Islamists, why aren't they just the Brotherhood? Why do they have to be the Muslim Brotherhood? Wouldn't it be better PR for them right now to go, we're just the Brotherhood?
I'm in complete agreement with you on that.
That's exactly
between his loyalists and pro-democracy supporters in Liberation Square. Sporadic clashes broke out throughout Thursday. Gunshots pierced the air as the army fanned out to separate the two sides. At least 13 people have died in the past 2 days of violence. More than 1,000 others are reported injured. Events have also taken an ugly turn for journalists covering the story. Dozens have been beaten, arrested, and have had their equipment raided. Well, we're continuing to bring you coverage from Cairo.
The service. So, Tim, let's begin with the issue of Vodafone and NARS. Explain how, in one fell swoop, the country could be plunged into digital darkness.
Well, it's interesting. What we're seeing is the same technology that has enabled freedom movements around the world is also being used to target and track down political dissidents. In the case of Egypt, we have a company called NARS, as you mentioned, it's now owned by Boeing, that sells what's called deep packet inspection. It allows Egyptian telecommunications companies, many of which are run by the state, to open up online communications to look at texting via cell phones and to identify the sort of dissident voices that are out there. And it goes beyond that. It also gives them the technology to geographically locate them.
Also, Egypt has paid a tremendous economic price with regards to, the opportunity costs of wars and so on. No one in Egypt wants a war with Israel.
Who's the person? If they held the election today, would it be El-Baradei?
It probably would. And the Brotherhood actually, a day or so ago, came out and said, we support Mr. El-Baradei.
Wouldn't that be dangerous? Because he was the chief... What was the official title here? The former UN Atomic Energy chief, okay?
Right.
He was the guy who went in there and said, no, you got atomic weapons here.
Tense since the street battle broke out on Wednesday, but the extent of the street battles has been dwindling. They've been going on until about 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon local time, when it started to get quite calm. We understood that many of the street battles had moved aside into the side streets around Tahrir Square, where they were not visible to us. We've been pinned down in our current location. As you mentioned, it's been a very tense day for journalists. We've been pinned down and really unable to move.
Nokia Siemens, which was a Finnish-German joint venture, selling technology to the Iranian Telecom Authority, which was also owned by the Revolutionary Guard there, to be used to track down and imprison cyber dissidents there. And Egypt has a very sophisticated internet infrastructure, which again is a double-edged sword, because it's made it very easy for the government to shut it off, while at the same time allowed for this sort of outpouring of dissidents.
Adults the world over are clamoring to get their hands on autocrat action figures. Strongmen, dictators, strategic partners, whatever you call them, the popular craze started with this little fella. Sure, he's got repression and superpower backing, but with enough friends, you're in charge. Just like you are with March On Me Now Mubarak. For 30 years, you couldn't touch his iron fist, but now it's removable, just like his head. Jab him with a stick and he'll say hilarious phrases like,
"But I bring you stability,"
while his thugs rampage on the street. March On Me Now Mubarak used to cost $2 billion every year, but he's yours now for not $1 billion, not even $1 million, but free, if you bring enough friends. Collect the entire set of autocrat action figures, each with a solid core of repression, inequality, and corruption. From Ali Abdullah in Yemen to King Abdullah in Saudi Arabia to King Abdullah II in Jordan. Just push the right button and who knows what you'll change. Autocrat action figures, once out of reach, now yours. While supplies last. And if you act now, we'll even throw in a wait-and-see Obama presidential in action figure. Because sometimes your friend's enemies are more friendly than your friends. Or something like that. Autocrat action figures may present a choking hazard and cause beatings or even death. Not recommended for people under 100,000 in number.
Euro, once the people of Egypt and Tunisia are finished rising up against the corrupt, moneyed, entrenched powers that have kept them down for so long, they must tell us how they did it.
It is one of the largest internet enemies.
So explain the difference between Naris and Vodafone. What roles do each play?
Naris provides a technology that sits on routers throughout the Egyptian network that filters and spies on communications. It's a surveillance technology. Naris was started by Israeli security experts, and they specialize in selling this. They sell it to other governments. Vodafone is a mobile phone technology system. The Vodafone Egypt is another joint venture there that also has a large Egypt control, which allows them to pull the switch on cell phone communications.
Put Pulling the switch here, Furious George, Thursday night. We do this to spotlight crazy fun things that are happening all around the world, including tonight, obviously, the amazing uprising in the Middle East. Especially important what's happening in Egypt, Tunisia, also soon to be happening in Jordan and other places. So with mad respect for all those folks doing nonviolent, civil disobedient, revolutionary things, and even taking a few rocks in the head despite... They are doing a great job, so I just want to shout it out to those folks. This show is dedicated to you all. I'm Furious George. I do it every Thursday. This show may be offensive to some of you punks in the listening audience. For everyone else, it's going to be a good one. Drive straight, DJ Buck Rooster. Everyone else, if you want to check us out online, go to www.wcomfm.org. That's where you can learn all about WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough. Or go to furiousg.blogspot. That's where you get lots of my old school songs and show sets and all that fun stuff. Learn more about me. I'll be back. We'll have some fun Toki Monsta mixes coming up right away. Here in the background, something from Teebs, a really great album from 2010. And we're going to dive right back into the darkness. Seems to be clearly front lines against the darkness here. So, I'm Furious. I'll do this every Thursday. Stick around for more. Michael Power Radio.
What about the bill that's being introduced here? I think it's by Senators Lieberman and Collins that would allow the U.S. government to shut down civilian access to the Internet.
Yes, the bill is somewhat inelegantly called the Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act. It was introduced in the last session.
Say it again?
As Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act. It was introduced in the last session.
Don't say that.
Well, that's the last time I'm going
to
say it.
We'll have to censor it.
It was introduced in the last session by Senators Lieberman, Carper of Delaware, and Collins of Maine. It made it through the Homeland Security Committee in December, but it died by the end of the session. A Wired story from earlier this week indicated that they intend to reintroduce this bill. And the problem with the bill is that it creates in the executive branch the capacity to cut down what they call shut down critical infrastructure in the case of the national threat. So we are at Free Press and others, ACLU and others, are trying to make sure that legislation, if it goes forward, doesn't have that specific language in it.
I figured out how they did it all. I only wish I could have tell it.
To tell the truth, after the first minute, I was afraid to look.
It was a therapy happening. But all that leaves you with are memories. And memories aren't where it's at. Boy, getting to where it's at is a long search.
ACLU and others are trying to make sure that that legislation, if it goes forward, doesn't have that specific language in it.
Of Twitter, you can see why a service like Twitter would be useful for people trying to coordinate decentralized large protest actions. Some of the people involved in the very early days of developing Twitter as a company were actually involved way back in 2004. I'm sure you remember the Republican National Convention protests in New York and the DNC protests in Boston. Some of the people involved in the very early days of Twitter were very instrumental in helping set up SMS texting systems that allowed protesters to communicate with other protesters and also the media and organize sort of spontaneous decentralized actions in New York and in Boston. So some of those people, it was called Text Mob, and Jeremy Scahill, working for your show, has written about the Text Mob service back in 2004. So some of those folks doing that, hacking that technology, you know, in New York in 2004, ended up demonstrating technologies like that to the folks starting Twitter. And it's not to say that radical activists created Twitter, but they certainly brought the ideas of sort of these decentralized communications to the folks who are setting up this larger company.
Right now,
Twitter, of course, is down. And yet the people going out in the streets, I mean, we now have reports of millions of people in Egypt out in the streets. So as you said, ultimately, it's not the technology.
Intervene in those
well,
very
you know,
violent
technologies
clashes.
Don't cause anything, but they help people do certain things more easily. And
over now to our Egypt desk. We can join Nazanin Sadri, who's been monitoring.
Clearly leaving others very upset, Zenobia writes, as an Egyptian, I apologize to foreign reporters who came to our country and are being terrorized by the regime for the covering the truth. As we've seen throughout the week, some terrifying incidents of clashes in and around Tahrir Square. This video posted on YouTube has been circulated widely on the net. Just to warn you that the images are quite disturbing. We've contacted the person who posted the video, who told us that it was shot last Friday in central Cairo as a group of protesters gathered as part of the so-called Day of Rage. And as a van approaches the crowd and drives through them, causing, well, as you can see, scenes of chaos. Quite horrific stuff, and we must mention, though, that we cannot verify any of these images. However, we have also been sent footage of similar scenes at night time. Just to remind you, of course, that you can keep up to date with all the latest on Egypt, including tweets from our correspondent.
forces down.
This is Democracy Now!
The
Democracy Now!
People going out in the streets.
I mean, we now have analysis of the Egyptian uprising.
Reporting on your organization, Free Press. It was about the FCC, the chair, Jenikowski, not following through, President Obama not following through on a free and open internet.
Right. The pledges that President Obama made while he was a candidate in the early, first year of his administration to protect net neutrality weren't fulfilled by his chairman at the FCC, Julius Jenikowski, in December, passed what he called the net neutrality order, but which doesn't fully protect wireless networks. Doesn't fully protect free speech on the internet as we know it. So that's...
We were trying to make our way to kind of the no man's land between the two groups. We never got that far. We were set upon by pro-Mubarak supporters, punching us in the head, attacking my producer, Marianne Fox, my cameraman as well, trying to grab his camera, trying to break his camera. They at first started going for the cameras. They didn't want any pictures taken. But frankly, we weren't even really taking pictures with the big camera. I was using a little flip camera, which they didn't notice. But the big camera, they were trying to grab it. We immediately started to turn around. We realized the situation would get very bad very quickly. We turned around and started to walk just calmly. The crowd kept throwing more punches, kicks, trying to grab us. It was pandemonium. I mean, there was really no control to it. Suddenly a young man would come up, look at you, and then punch you right in the face. And seek a safe location, which is where we are now.
Anderson Cooper.
In order to get there, we had to pass through a crowd of pro-Mubarak protesters. Video on my flip camera so as not to attract too much attention. Suddenly a man jumped out of the crowd and tried to grab Neil's camera. That's when all hell broke loose.
Somebody told me everything all you had to say. Heard it from them first. Now that I'm wise, am I better this way? I can't answer that. Somebody told me. Yes, it did. All in your head, girl. Just don't think upon it anymore. But I can't do that, and I won't do that. You cut me like a thorn.
We didn't want to run because we didn't want the crowd to get emboldened, thinking we were scared.
Hey, come back.
about a block left to go when another guy came up and punched me in the head.
We begin tonight with our continuing coverage of the mess, oh, slightly to the left, oh, Pokemia. After 6 days of peaceful protests in Egypt, 30-year President Hosni Mubarak finally took to the airwaves on Tuesday night.
I was never, ever interested in being a dictator.
I just knew as a child I wanted to oppress people, but I didn't... Maybe be a dickish assistant manager that nobody likes, an unreasonably strict teacher, but to be here, f***ing over you people, it's a dream come true. What? Wait, what were we talking about again? I don't remember. Hosni, are you staying or are you going?
I tell you very honestly and regardless of the current circumstance that I did not intend to run for a new presidential term because I have spent enough time in my life serving Egypt and its people.
Egypt, you can't fire me. I quit. They can all head back to their lives, let the new Mubarak-less cabinet begin the democratic reform process.
I will continue to supervise the new government.
You've not seen this movie, have you? This is not the part where you stay. This is the part where you take a bunch of gold bricks, maybe a priceless artifact, and hop a plane to Dubai. This is not going to be good.
You have now people on the front lines of both sides throwing rocks, throwing bottles.
As night fell, we started hearing heavy gunfire.
Incendiary devices being launched off the top of that building. That is a very ominous development.
Pro-Mubarak forces who were stampeding and attacking some of the anti-Mubarak protesters, the demonstrators, those on camel and horseback.
You know, I can't help but notice the pro-Mubarak demonstrators seem to be slightly more organized and armed and have horses. What a spontaneous eruption of pro-Mubarak sentiment from everyday Egyptians trained in the art of whip-based crowd control. I don't like where this is going.
We were set upon by pro-Mubarak supporters punching us in the head. The crowd kept growing, kept throwing more punches, kicks. Suddenly a young man would come up, look at you, and then punch you right in the face.
All right, Hosni. Now you've gone too far. Hands off Anderson Cooper. There's a...
You
Egyptian soldiers. The Egyptian soldiers are doing nothing.
Finally, we reached a safe location.
But you got to vote.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, we won't pick your candidates alone. Israel will help.
Yes, not to them.
But how do we even know who we're dealing with?
Now, how can Americans be sure that we can trust the Egyptian people?
Trust the Egyptian
people? I mean, are you trustworthy or are you not trustworthy?
I am trustworthy.
But that's what somebody who's not trustworthy would say. Your Egyptian side has to be saying, this is great that Mubarak is going to leave. But your American side has to be saying, I don't know if I can trust that Egyptian side.
I think I've already got both sides.
Finish this sentence for me. Blank to America.
Go America.
Go America. Like, get lost. Go away.
No, go America, but adjust your policy.
Adjust your policy?
Adjust your policy. I think
that sounds like a veiled threat. The implications of this revolution are clear.
Will the void leave room for radical Islam?
Is it an Islamic Egypt?
Will there be more radical members take over, like from the Muslim Brotherhood?
This is not about Arabs. This is not about the Muslim Brotherhood. This is not how the CNN might make it look. This is not how Fox News might make it look. We're all people.
I am actually an Egyptian Christian.
You are Christian?
I am Christian.
See, you look Muslim-y to me.
See these.
motivations of this revolution are clear.
Will the void leave room for radical Islam?
Is it an Islamic Egypt?
Will there be more radical members take over, like from the Muslim Brotherhood?
This is not about Arabs. This is not about the Muslim Brotherhood. This is not how the CNN might make it look. This is not how Fox News might make it look. We're all people.
I am asking, is this a Christian?
You're a Christian?
I'm Christian.
See, you look Muslim-y to me.
Jewish or Christian or Muslim, all we have the same rights.
Where now can America send its prisoners to make sure that they get tortured properly if we don't send them to Egypt anymore?
It's very simple. They can open a new Guantanamo Bay somewhere in the Midwest.
Obviously, these people know nothing about how a democracy really works.
Something's happening in Egypt. Time to bomb Iran!
The situation in Egypt is also being used right now by the Drill Baby Drill crowd. Think Progress today highlighting a number of Republicans in Congress, including Senator David Vitter, who have responded to the protests in Egypt by calling for increased oil drilling in the U.S. of A. Other news events that have precipitated a call by Republicans to drill, baby, drill? Well, there was the sluggish U.S. economy in the summer of 2008, reason to drill. A landslide victory by Republicans in the 2004 elections, also a reason to drill. A thoroughly debunked claim that China was magically drilling for oil off the coast of Cuba, reason to drill. Packers are in the Super Bowl. Reason to drill. Somebody's got a birthday today. Reason to drill. With some folks, opportunity is always knocking when it comes to their chosen policies. But for some folks, opportunism is not about pushing for a specific policy. It's about choosing every occasion as the right occasion to push for their favorite idea, their favorite story. Like, for example, the idea, the story, that it's the end of the world.
And all types of ill shit.
This is the coming insurrection. It is. And it is imperative that you get up to speed. Do your own homework.
Anderson Cooper,
this is
Mike
not about
Cairo,
Egypt.
CNN Tonight,
this is about your hometown and your lifestyle.
I show you
it is important to see
to
what is really going on and what this leads to. I believe, again, the coming insurrection.
As opposed to the other times the coming insurrection was upon us. Now the people protesting against Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, now that means that the coming insurrection is upon us because China is going to take over New Zealand. Also, the Muslim world is all one country now.
There are three powers that you will see really emerge. One, a Muslim caliphate that controls the Mideast and parts of Europe. Two, China that will control Asia, the southern half of Africa, part of the Middle East, Australia, maybe New Zealand, and God only knows what else. And Russia, which will control all of the old former Soviet Union bloc, plus maybe the Netherlands? Not really sure, but their strong arm is coming.
Oh, poor Amsterdam! I forgot also to say Russia's back. Russia's going to be like the Soviet Union, but worse. For Mr. Beck and for others who see a direct ratio between their own success and how afraid they can make their audiences, it turns out that an uprising in Egypt is even better evidence of this being the end of the world than, say, the last evidence we had, which was President Obama passing Wall Street reform last year.
Okay, Micropower Radio. Thanks for listening. This is Furious George. We do this every Thursday. Stick around. DJ Grizz is here for Bodacious Bass. I'll be back next Thursday. Who knows what'll be happening by then? Maybe the end of times. Maybe $5 gasoline. Maybe the same thing. We're going to go into a little bit of Flying Lotus and let you take off into the evening with some cool music. Stick around, I'm furious. I'll be back.